Welcome to Groundwire Community Radio News, brought to you by volunteers at Canada's community radio stations. This episode of Groundwire was produced at University of Winnipeg-based radio station CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba, on occupied Anishinaabe Akin, the homeland of the Métis Nation and the historical territory of the Nahiowak and the Nakota. I'm your host, Michael Welch. In this episode...
I really feel it was the ancestors, that they really want me to do this and to be here.
Gaza is unlivable.
They say go back, we say fight back.
But first, here are the headlines. The following headline comes from Catherine Fisher of CJLY on Sinaixt Traditional Territory in BC. On September 5th, the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives released a response to the BC Law Institute's consultation paper on the Employment Standards Act as part of the Institute's Employment Standard Act reform project. The response, titled Building a Stronger Foundation of Basic Workplace Rights for BC Workers, said that the consultation report included useful recommendations that could improve existing employment standards, but that it doesn't go far enough to address challenges faced by vulnerable workers in BC, particularly those employed in precarious sectors. For example, advances in digital technology have enabled new structures of organizing work that existing employment standards framework was not designed to deal with. This has resulted in some owners of online platforms gaining competitive advantage over traditional service providers by exploiting gaps in the existing employment standards regulation and enforcement, specifically by classifying their workers as independent contractors and avoiding the responsibilities and costs that come with more traditional employment relationships. Building a Stronger Foundation, authored by Iglika Ivanova, is available on the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives website at policyalternatives.ca. Our next headline comes to us from Ome Salma Rahimtula on the traditional territories of the Mississaugas of the New Credit. NAFTA is being renegotiated and Canada is being left out. The North American Free Trade Agreement came into effect on January 1, 1994 and created a North American trading bloc between Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. However, with the election of Donald Trump, the agreement was forced into renegotiation for very unclear reasons and objectives. 2 weeks ago, U.S. and Mexican officials announced that they had reached a new deal, effectively pushing Canada out. According to the Council of Canadians, having signed the free trade agreement with the United States 30 years ago resulted in Canada narrowing its trade partners and the limited trade choices Canadians now face with their shutting out of NAFTA. Donald Trump is putting pressure on Canada to accept this new deal and calling on Canada to abandon its successful dairy quota program, which ensures Canada is dairy self-sufficient. The Council of Canadians honorary chairperson Maud Barlow concludes that in the end, Canada can ultimately live without NAFTA and is skeptical that it can be remedied. She says, quote, NAFTA 1.0 was a deal by and for corporations, but NAFTA 2.0 doesn't look any better. There may be some marginal improvements with labor and environmental chapters, but on the whole, it's a corporate-friendly deal that Canada would be better off without, unquote. That's it for the headlines. We'll be right back after this.
Swinging trapeze, hope that safety net don't have a hole in it. Cause there's so many faces, the whole human races that fill up the spaces on home and native places. There's so many faces, new generations. Let the moment begin. We're in the heat. I've seen the past.
driving. I'm gonna plug myself in to the here and now. No looking back, no looking back. No more proud. I've seen the future, I've seen the past. I fly more in a soaring machine, up in the cloud, chasing.
Heard the title track from the 2016 album Here and Now by Winnipeg-based group Indian City. Now it's time for our feature stories. Saturday, September 8th, was a global day of action in which people in communities around the planet engaged in public displays demanding real climate solutions from local leaders. The Winnipeg action attracted close to 100 people. They had gathered in front of the Manitoba legislature on a rainy and cool afternoon. Among the highlights of this action, 9 people carried a homemade 20-foot-long puppet made to look like a fierce black snake, an Indigenous reference to pipelines. The Winnipeg event was organized by the Manitoba Energy Justice Coalition, a mostly volunteer-run organization concerned with the adverse impacts of certain energy sources like fossil fuels on communities. Laura Tyler, who is active with MEJC, explained to CKUW's Mary Jane Eason about the event's focus on bringing these issues to the attention of the wider community.
Well, not just inspire others and see that we as a movement, we as a people, we as a community care, but also will inspire ourselves to remind ourselves of our power, of our community, and that we're most effective when we come together. We want to make sure that we raise some attention for the fact that Spirit of the Buffalo Camp sits right there on the border with the United States, on the Line 3 route, right outside Gretna. So we want to make sure that we help more people connect with that information.
Laura Tyler refers to the Spirit of the Buffalo Camp, erected in early July by Dakota woman Geraldine McManus. Geraldine remains at the site near Gretna, Manitoba, 2 months later. She's completely reliant on volunteer donations of firewood, food, and other supplies to maintain the camp. In an on-site interview with CKUW, Geraldine talks about how she came to be at the site and about her resolve to hold the line.
Well, 350.org actually was the beginning of helping me get out here, because they gave me, and this is a terrible thing, because they gave me money to come to Washington. They sent me $1,000 to come to Washington. I was supposed to rent a car and drive out to Washington and go talk about Line 3 at the Mother Earth Conference in Nisqually in BC. For some reason, I think if I went to Washington, something would have happened to me. I really think that something was going to happen to me. Either I wasn't going to come back across the border, they were either going to confiscate my vehicle, either I was going to be arrested, or something was going to happen to me. I knew it. So I said, let's go out there, Kenton. And so Kenton brought me in the teacher's car. We went driving all over here, drove up this road, and we sat on the end of this road here. And I looked around, I said, Kenton, what's that right there? He says, that's America. I said, so you're telling me this little road right here, I said, is the real border road? He said, yeah. He goes, but it's not a road. He says, it's a levee. It's a dike. And I said, okay, this is what I need to know, Kenton. you know, is it federal land? If it's federal land, it's Crown land. I said, if it's Crown land, that's good. Then we can, we're allowed to be on it. So I went back to Winnipeg, and then Kenton phoned me, and he says, yeah, I'm pretty sure. He says, 90 feet down from the road, from the center of the road, 90 feet. Psh, that's Crown land. And I said, tonight, midnight, we're going in. And that was kind of like, yeah, all right, right? So everybody came. There was, I don't know, quite a, what, 15 of us, I guess? I really feel it was the ancestors, that they really want me to do this and to be here. We will stop this line. People think you're not going to stop it. You can't stop it. Oh, yeah? Well, we're going to give it a darn good try.
Listeners seeking more information about the Manitoba Energy Justice Coalition or who wish to donate to the Spirit of the Buffalo Camp can visit the site mbenergyjustice.org. Audio for that report was supplied in part courtesy of Mary Jane Eason and the CKUW program Wooden Spoons. In other Winnipeg news, a special three-day symposium was convened to consider the applicability of international law as a mechanism for settling the long-standing Israel-Palestine conflict. This event was sponsored by a number of organizations concerned with peace and social justice in the region generally, including Independent Jewish Voices Canada, Mennonite Church Manitoba Working Group on Palestine-Israel, United Jewish People's Order, Winnipeg, and the Winnipeg Center Federal Green Party Association. Held at the historic Fort Garry Hotel, participants considered questions ranging from the applicability of the Fourth Geneva Convention and international human rights law to occupied Palestine, the legal status of Jewish settlements in the West Bank and East Jerusalem, the jurisdiction of the United Nations, the International Criminal Court, and the International Court of Justice, and Canada's legal obligations under the UN Charter and other instruments of international law. Organizer David Kattenberg outlined the significance of this event in his opening remarks the evening of Friday, September 7th.
The United Nations system and the European Union imposes sanctions on something like 35 or 40 countries. One country that is not anywhere on these lists is the one that we're going to be kind of looking at in this weekend's symposium. Even though the international community universally considers this little country to be in multiple grave breach of the most canonical of post-war laws, the Fourth Geneva Conventions, not only does Canada not hold this little country to account, it actually supports and defends it and has its back. This bothers me. And causes me consternation as a Jewish person and as the child Holocaust survivors. This troubles me deeply, and this phenomenon is why I decided, well, there's not going to be a Palestinian Rolling Thunder tour. Let's have a symposium entitled Israel, Palestine, and International Law.
Michael Link is Associate Professor of Law at the University of Western Ontario. In 2016, Professor Link was appointed by the United Nations Human Rights Council to become the seventh Special Rapporteur on the situation of human rights in the Palestinian territory. He presented the event's opening keynote address.
In face of this, then, I suggest that the first step of the international community is to acknowledge the solidity of the legal framework respecting the Israeli occupation, and work within that framework to support the political and judicial assessment of Israel's illegal occupant status, which would likely be determined by the UN General Assembly and the International Court of Justice. Should the conclusion of these forums be that Israel is indeed occupying the Palestinian territory unlawfully, then the international community could then take the necessary steps to bring Israel's illegal occupant status to a resolute and timely conclusion. The obligation upon the international community would involve both the observation of negative duties to not encourage or assist Israel respecting these violations, and the taking of affirmative steps to bring such violations to an end. The next step would be to create and select from a policy menu of escalating political and diplomatic options for imposing genuine costs on Israel for its rejectionism.
Suhat Jarar is a Palestinian human rights researcher and advocate, and currently the environmental and gender policy researcher at Al-Haq human rights organization in Ramallah.
The situation in Gaza has become so dire that we can see the consequences of failing to provide durable solutions for Palestinian refugees translating on the ground into a humanitarian catastrophe, a humanitarian crisis. Israel is an, Gaza is unlivable. It's not going to be unlivable by 2020. We in fact argue that it is already uninhabitable. Because of the continuous denial of the right of return, again, and the failure to deliver durable solutions, together with the 11-year closure imposed by Israel, and as well as the internal divide between Fatah and Hamas, this has all exacerbated the humanitarian crisis in the Gaza Strip.
On the final day of the event, Dimitri Lascaris addressed the question of Canada's rights and obligations under Article 1 of the 4th Geneva Convention. Dimitri Lascaris is a Canadian lawyer, journalist, and activist. He's a correspondent and board member of the Real News Network and a board member of Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East.
You see the Canadian government escalating its support for the State of Israel, despite the complete disappearance of any prospect of a two-state solution, but despite the relentless expansion of the settlements and all the array of human rights violations, for example, those that I discussed in the Great March of Return, the Canadian government over the past 15 years has rapidly and dramatically escalated its support for the State of Israel at the United Nations. And so, from my perspective, there is a very strong argument to be made that Canada is in violation of its obligations under Article 1 of the 4th Geneva Convention to ensure Israel's respect for the provisions of the convention.
Other speakers at the three-day symposium included Jonathan Kotab, a human rights lawyer and co-founder of Al-Haq, David Matus, international human rights, refugee, and immigration lawyer, and Southern Illinois University professor Virginia Tilley, co-author with Richard Falk of the book Israeli Practices Towards the Palestinian People and the Question of Apartheid. A follow-up event with Suha Jarar will take place in Regina on Wednesday, September 12th, and in Winnipeg on Tuesday, September 25th. Many thanks to Winnipeg-based community videographer Paul Graham for supplying the audio for that report. You can find more of his work, including videos of the conference, by visiting the Paul S. Graham YouTube channel. Bolante Idowu Alo, a man living in Canada for 13 years, had been deported to Nigeria on August 7th, in spite of him telling Canadian Border Services Agency officials repeatedly that his life was in danger in that country. Alo reportedly died shortly after being taken off the plane. In response to the tragedy, migrant justice activists gathered outside the CBSA offices in Montreal on Thursday, August 30th, for a public mourning of Alo and of other friends, neighbors, and family members unjustly deported by the agency. The news collective at radio station CKUT 90.3 FM managed to record some of the voices from that public demonstration.
So my name is Jenny Laure Sully. I'm here today for this public mourning for Mr. Bolante Idowu Alo, who was killed while in the custody of CBAC agents, Canadian Border Security Agency, decided to deport him, and they escorted him on a plane, and there was an altercation, and he died. And so it was appreciated by people from his church, people from his community. And we just don't understand. He was working, he was a taxi driver. So why deport someone like that after 13 years? And not only deport him, but ignore the fact that he said that his life was in danger and that if they deport him, he's basically a dead man. And so we're here to say that he's not the only victim. A lot of our friends and community members have been victim of the unfair immigration system that we have here in Canada.
They say go back, we say fight back. 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 They say go back.
My name is Hisham Shaban. I am from Palestine, Gaza Strip. When I come here from United States, I stay in detention like 4 months in detention center in Laval. And after I get released, but I don't have status, I don't have ID. I come to talking with immigration, no anybody, he don't want talking with me. And now nothing for here, no ID, no permit residence, no nothing. I need to solution. I come here today because I need to change the system. I hope so is to get solution to the situation for everybody.
Migrants welcome in this town. If they can't stay here, shut it down. Shut it down.
He was here for 13 years and it took that long because the system is that inefficient.
Shut it down.
My name is Ekens. I have a first-hand experience with immigration for 11 years. I've been in Canada for 11 years. Originally, I'm from Nigeria. So I have seen how the system works and the systematic operation which the government is using against me. The people working in this building, I have experience with them. I find so many complaints. I find that there are a lot of people like me that is been that has been suffering from such system and they don't have money to fight the government. Personally, I don't feel good because I know what he passed through, horror. Because with time they deported me, I passed through the same thing, but I prevented it. If they have killed me that day, they would have framed up stories. So I feel for this guy.
We stand here in solidarity because we recognize that it is this repressive system that is dying. So this coffin right here symbolizes the death of that system and the fight for justice that lives on.
We're asking that the new Ministry of Border Security and Organized Crime be abolished. We're asking for a moratorium on deportations towards Haiti because right now, you know, asylum seekers for Haiti are being deported at large numbers, and we need the end of the Safe Third Country Act with the United States. We want deportations to stop. Deportations are being used as a form of repression, and it needs to stop. People should not be detained for trying to basically protect their lives. They're coming here because they want to protect their lives.
Thanks again to the News Collective at CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal on unceded Kanien-Kahaka territory for providing us with that report. That's it for our features. We'll be right back after this.
They want to ask for
just heard Winnipeg-based group Mise en Scène with the song Light in the Night from their 2018 album Still Life on Fire. That's it for this edition of Groundwire, produced at CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg on occupied Anishinaabe Gakin, the homeland of the Métis Nation and the historical territory of the Nahiowak and the Nakota. Music this week was by Indian City and by Mise en Scène. Headlines this week were written by Catherine Fisher and Ome Salmat Ratintula. We also thank Paul Graham, as well as Gao Mahadevan and the CKUT News Collective for their contributions. Tune in again to hear Groundwire on your local community radio station or download at groundwirenews.ca. Thanks for tuning in.